Welcome to the Real Estate Espresso Podcast, your morning shot of what's new in the world of real estate investing. I'm your host, Victor Monash. This is the weekend edition where we interview notable people from the world of real estate investing. Today is no exception. We have a great guest all the way from San Jose, California. Welcome to the show, Franco Perez.
Thank you for having me, Victor.
Well, great to have you here. Now, Franco, you've been a player in the mobile home space for quite some time and excited to have this conversation because we haven't talked about mobile homes for quite a while on the show. But before we do, maybe give a little bit of your backstory and how you got to this point in your journey.
Yeah, I came from an immigrant family with a single mom. And coming from that point of life, I had to support my family at a very young age. And I remember how much struggle it was being a renter. From that point, I really realized how difficult it is for like the middle class and low income families to really have that social mobility to go from poor to just owning their first home. And from going through that experience, after growing from there, I realized I wanted to build a business that really helped benefit the middle class be able to afford housing and reap benefits of real estate as well. So did a little bit of government stuff, didn't like it too much, then came across mobile homes and mobile home parks and realized that, man, there's so much false myths about these parks. There's so much false stigmas about these parks. And also, they're great financial tools for both the park owners and also the residents themselves. And fell in love with it and found ways to optimize and convert old mobile homes to new mobile homes, very luxury style looking homes. And that's really been our mission, is to beautify and expose and educate how beautiful mobile homes could be.
Absolutely. I mean, mobile home parks, like you said, do often attract a bit of a stigma. They have sometimes a bit of a poor reputation. And, you know, sometimes it's deserved. There are a few parks that have been neglected for far too long. And that creates that bit of a ghetto, let's say. But if properly run, properly maintained, properly marketed to attract high quality residents, they can be a wonderful place to live.
Yeah, I mean, one thing to note is, I mean, just like what you just said, with apartments, with single family homes, there are bad areas too, right? So you have a full spectrum as well. You know, there are areas of apartments and housing that you wouldn't want your kids playing around. And then also the same with mobile home parks. Yes, there are some bad parks, but also there's some very beautiful parks as well that are perfect retirement areas or perfect places for families to grow up. And in our areas, especially the economy of jobs and good schools, these are areas where people can really live in and be close proximity. We have a park that's right across the street from Google and another park that's across the street from Samsung. And these are homes that are very much overlooked and misunderstood just because of what we see in Hollywood. We assume that it's all poverty and that sort of thing and not a great place to live.
Yeah, and certainly in Silicon Valley, there are quite a number of parks. Many have been there for a long time. I don't think you would get those parks approved today if that land became available. But then on the other hand, they're not going to get redeveloped for anything else either, because the affordable housing advocates would want to maintain those as an affordable housing solution. So I think they're there to stay for a long time, even though they might be next to a multi-million dollar subdivision just literally on the other side of the property line.
Absolutely. And I think one thing to mention too is that these parks, it would be pretty difficult in these metro areas, but we have a lot of cities that are growing fast. And what's great about these mobile homes is they're built at a very effective rate with all these labor issues of construction and that sort of thing. We're able to deploy, I mean, we're working with some partners now on deploying these parks to be workforce housing in many fast-growing areas. For example, there's the Tesla plant that's growing in Nevada, where we're working on building housing out there, and many other areas of Texas as well. These are areas where we can produce fast quality housing that will allow affordable housing for these working class people.
Now, one of the misconceptions that we often hear is that, you know, it's really all about hard construction cost, and hard construction cost is a piece of the equation, but when it comes to providing a service lot, whether it's for a mobile home or for a detached single family home, the service requirements are identical. You just got to still produce water and power and sewer, all of those things still need to be there. And so those infrastructure costs are very similar, irrespective of what you put on top of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what our mission is, really, is on our YouTube channel. We love showcasing how these homes are actually built and how it's kind of like how the car became available for the regular people. You know, at first, it was very difficult to build a car one at a time. But as time progressed and as advancements happened, they moved it to an assembly line fashion. And that's exactly how we're building these homes now, right? At a very rapid rate, at a very effective rate, maximizing the output of each worker. The HVAC people are consistently working on multiple homes at the same location at the same time. And with that, we're able to keep the cost of construction lower while still keeping the standard of construction very high. And not only that, it's also much safer for these workers in these controlled environments in a warehouse, where you don't have to worry about weather delays and that sort of thing. And we continue to raise those standards. Other countries are already using modular and manufactured home construction at a much better rate than North America is. And we hope to really advance from where we're at today to building better in this country as well.
The biggest player is a household name, obviously part of Warren Buffett's company, Berkshire Hathaway. Clayton Homes seems to be the biggest behemoth in the industry. Is that who you work with, or do you work with others? What's your perspective on the landscape?
We do work with them. Now, every state, every location has its own different pros and cons. Every state has its own better territories of what they build and what they can build. But we partner with all to really build, we're not committed to one, but we work with Clayton at their factories. I know a lot of them very closely, but yes, we do work with them as well. And there's a lot of attention going into this space, especially with all the problems happening with housing. One big problem I got to bring up too, is that a lot of our workforce and people that do construction are in the age that they want to retire. They want to rest. And we don't have a lot of millennials or any younger people that are excited about using a hammer and excited about doing electrical work or any hard labor work. And we have to be able to still keep up and build these homes, even though we're not having people that want to build these homes. And how do we do that? It's through process improvement. It's through innovation of how we build these and how can we better the output of homes with the resources that we have. Because at the rate we're going, we aren't building enough housing for the people and the population that's growing in these areas. So that's really kind of one big problem we're trying to solve.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a few different models when it comes to park ownership, and I've seen both, and I have an opinion, but I'd love to hear yours as well. Some parks own just the dirt and they rent the pads to the individual homeowners, and they put together a deal with a dealer for Clayton Homes and or whoever the dealer might be, or they buy a used one on the market and have it brought to the site. And then there's others where the park owns the homes as well. And there's pros and cons. There's no right or wrong answer. What's your perspective? Which model do you prefer?
If we're talking about actually, I'd say in both perspectives, whether it's for the residents or for the park owners as well, we're seeing a lot of people shift towards the ownership of just the land and allowing for the residents to own these units. There's a lot of perks to it because, one, it's affordable ownership for residents, and it's generally better for the economy and the people of that city. And the other is, when you have a family that's well invested into their home, they're going to take care of that home better. They're going to maintain their unit. They're going to beautify their home. And they're also not going to default, right? So if I have a big amount of money that's invested in the home that I have in your mobile home park, I'm going to take care of that. And I'm going to maintain it. I'm going to make sure that I keep my park, my landlord happy. But it actually works in both ways. The residents are able to reap benefits of ownership. And then also the park owners have to worry less about maintenance, less about default. All they have to worry about is the utilities and then keeping the roadways and utilities working and compliant, right? But I work with a lot of park owners that have mobile home parks that actually have them as rentals, and they're working very hard to convert it into an ownership model, whether it's coming from renting and giving them opportunities to own their own unit, or shifting and converting these parks completely.
In the mobile home park space, as with any investment, there has to be an exit strategy. Otherwise, to quote Mr. Wonderful, Kevin O'Leary, that's called a prison for your money if you don't have an exit strategy. What is the exit strategy? Is it institutional buyers? Is it individual investors? Is it packaging of portfolios? What's your perspective?
You know, the last year has been a real big shift. For a long while, it's just been a lot of mom and pop families that just have this as a big part of their portfolio. To answer that question, you don't see a lot of families that want to let go of their parks because they have no reason to, but we are starting to see a lot of institutional money, hedge funds that are getting into this park ownership model, right? With a lot of the money not being as strong in stocks, real estate has been a big topic for where they're going to move their investments to. And once it's really well understood how these parks work, then we're seeing, as that's developing and as people are getting attention into it, we're seeing a lot of movement of money into this space.
Very interesting. Well, Franco, if folks want to connect, if they want to learn more, what's the best way?
All of our stuff is on www.franco.tv. You can see our YouTube channel there, our Instagram, and you can really see how beautiful we're making these homes. I think if you haven't seen a mobile home, you should definitely check out our stuff and see how beautiful we're making them. And it shouldn't be something overlooked.
Awesome. Well, Franco, love the perspective. And for the listeners at home, definitely connect with Franco Perez at franco.tv. Check out his YouTube channel as well. And in the meantime, have an awesome rest of your weekend. Go make some great things happen. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.